Tonight I'm going to preach a message on a topic that I'm sure has probably been covered in a message that I've heard before, but I don't, I guess, specifically remember a message on this subject or devoted to this subject. That doesn't mean I haven't heard one, just means I can't remember one. And I'm sure there's been messages that you've heard that you don't remember. But anyways, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 13, and in the Bible you'll see a phrase. Somebody could be you can see the phrase maybe children of Belial. You could maybe pronounce it a different way, but children of Belial or sons of Belial or a man of Belial. In the New Testament, you have in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the only time I believe the word is used in the New Testament, and you have what concord hath Christ with Belial. And the idea behind, one of the ideas behind the word, or a thought behind the word is that it has the idea of worthless. All right, it can be translated as wicked. It can be translated in the Old Testament as ungodly. There in the New Testament, we see that it seems like it's contrasting Christ with Satan. And it has, you know, what it contrasts light with darkness. So as we look at this subject of Belial tonight, I think there's a couple of things that we need to be aware of. And that is that we're not influenced by those who are children of Belial. I think we need to be careful in our own lives that we are not manifesting characteristics that could be associated with those that are of Belial. Right? It's something that has a negative connotation. Right? Not something that you would want to be associated with in your life. So as we look at some of these characteristics, I think it'd be wise for us to look at them and say, that is something that I do not want to be. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 13, it says, let's start in verse number 12. If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their cities, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. So here we have the children of Belial influencing others to serve false gods. All right, here are these worthless, wicked people, and what are they doing? They are seeking to get the inhabitants, those that are dwelling in a particular city, to depart from Jehovah. And the Bible views this as a very bad crime. How important it is that we are influencing people in the right direction. You know, this was a very serious thing, and God wanted to protect the people of Israel from departing from the covenant that He had made with them. And so here we see children of Belial, those that are influencing those to serve other gods, those that are seeking to influence people to turn away from God. Let's go to Judges chapter 19. In the book of Judges was a time in which every man did that which is right in his own eyes. All right, the code of ethics in the book of Judges is not one that you want to live by. All right, people were not living under God's authority. But in many ways, they were living according to that which they saw as right rather than what was truly right. Here in Judges chapter 19 and verse number 22, it says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. So here we see these sons of Belial wanting to commit a very wicked act. And we see how they were very intent on doing what they wanted to do. All right, here we see people intent on performing their desired acts of wickedness. And notice in verse number 25, he says, but the men, you know, here's this man trying to persuade them, and he says in verse, well, let's go verse 23, he says, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Seeing this man, that this man has come into mine house, do not this folly. Verse 25, it says, but the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. So here, people that are intent, it says they would not hearken to him. And then we see what this man did was not a very good thing. So here we see sons of Belial, people that are intent on performing their desired acts of wickedness. Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Here are some people that are familiar to many, the sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. And it says, describes them in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And there's a good description of people that are sons of Belial, people that do not know the Lord. You know, these should not be characteristics whatsoever of people that know God. But what were these men like? Verse number 16. We find these were, it says, and if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. So instead of reserving this part of the sacrifice that should have been for the Lord, the sons of Eli wanted to take it for themselves. And so here we see, you know, Eli's sons were men that were intent on fulfilling their own selfish desires. And they used their position as a power play, so to speak, to get what they wanted. They were intent on getting their way, on benefiting and taking the priesthood and benefiting themselves instead of fulfilling what God wanted. And in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 13, you know, gives us a commentary on Eli's relationship to his sons. Which it says, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons, those are the children of Belial, made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. So here we find his sons living in a vile manner, performing really the desires of their heart, which was wickedness, allowing, you know, taking that which belonged to the Lord, even though people would protest, they still were going to do it. And it says that Eli restrained them not. You know, probably his sons would have been very difficult to restrain. You know, but there was a responsibility that Eli had, and that was to restrain them. Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And this has to do, there's all these different stories we're running through, but this has to do with Saul, I believe, becoming the king of Israel. And it says here in verse number 26, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. So here we have, you know, in a sense, the naysayers. As Saul was set up to be the king, you know, even though the children of Israel, you know, really were desiring something wrong and wanting a king instead of really looking to God, as Samuel set up Saul as the king, there were those who went along with what was taking place. And it talks about those whose hearts God had touched. And they realized maybe that Saul could provide deliverance, that God would use him to provide deliverance from the enemies of Israel. But then it says the children of Belial, what did they say? "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no presents. So here we have those that had this negative, you know, the naysayers, so to speak, with what was going on. We'll see another story about this, and actually maybe I'll just skip ahead. If we go to 2 Samuel chapter 20. And this is when Absalom had tried to take away the kingship from David. And David, now Absalom was defeated and David was being restored back as the king in Jerusalem. And it says here in 2 Samuel 20 verse 1, "And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, 'We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel.' So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem." So here we have this man Sheba who had a very powerful influence over those in Israel. And instead of following David as their king, he sought to set up himself as a leader over the people and influence them in a wrong direction. You know, here was a point where he probably could have stood up and said, "You know what? Let's follow David." And could have been a uniting force in the land of Israel. But instead he was used as a negative force, and ultimately, Sheba lost his life. You know, so we find a man here of Belial, and someone who was able to wield a powerful influence over the people around him. Let's go back to 1 Samuel, and 1 Samuel chapter 25, and we'll look at a man, you know, familiar, a man Nabal, who is referred to as a man of Belial. 1 Samuel chapter 25. So David and his men were camping nearby where Nabal's household and all his flocks and herds were. And it seems that David provided protection to Nabal's flocks. And it says here in 1 Samuel, "But when David came to get some sustenance from Nabal, Nabal was going to have nothing to do with it." And it says here in verse number 17, "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he," referring to Nabal, "is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." All right, so David came to Nabal to request some food, to request some sustenance. But Nabal is going to have nothing to do with him. You know, and he says in verse 11, "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" You know, Nabal, everything was for himself. Everything was about himself. He was somebody that was difficult to speak to. He was selfish and unwilling to help others who had helped him. Verse, we find, you know, Nabal was set in his way and was hard to speak to. Verse number 21 of the same chapter says, now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So here's this man of Belial, can't be spoken to, can't be approached to, and is requiting evil to those that had given good to him. You know, how do you or have you treated those that have poured out their life for you? Now, sometimes you see this spiritually with people. Somebody pours out their life, you know, seeking to minister to somebody. And how do they respond to that? You know, they just throw that person under the rug. They don't treat them with the kindness and the respect and the dignity that that person should be treated with for all that they have done. And, you know, maybe that person seeks to approach them about something, but they do not recognize all the good that's been given to them. And in essence, they act like Nabal. You know, and the people knew, is, you know, here's this servant coming to Abigail, speaking about their master, saying he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. He was known for it. All right, let's continue on. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here we have David's men. And, you know, David at this point, his life was with the Philistines. Camping with the Philistines, the Philistines went off to battle against Israel. And anyways, they wouldn't let David come with him. And so David is back with his men. And they come back anyways from, you know, the Philistines said, you can't go with us. So they come back to the place where they were staying, and they found out that, you know, someone else had come and attacked where they were living and had taken away all their wives, had taken away all their children, had taken away their stuff. And, you know, it could be pretty discouraging. So anyways, they go out. We're going to go after these people. But some of the men were very weary. And they were left back by some of the stuff. And anyways, they were able to defeat, and were able to get back all their wives, all their children, everything that had been taken away. And so as they come back, it says in verse 21, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. And so here we have, you know, notice here the selfishness of these men. You know, they were not thinking about the weariness of the men. You know, they weren't thinking about the fact that they were maybe watching some of their stuff. They were not thinking about the past battles that these men maybe had been involved in and won. All they were thinking about was the here and now. They weren't thinking about the fact that, you know what, who delivered all of our wives and children and all our stuff back into our hands? Who did it? God did it. But they were viewing it as who did it? They did it. We're responsible. And because they didn't see who had provided, who had given back all their stuff to them, they want to say, we're not going to give any of this stuff to you. You know, you can have your wife, you can have your kids, but then just leave. We're going to take all the stuff to ourselves. You know, notice the great selfishness of these men. And, you know, you think of Satan as he fell from heaven, you know, so I will be like the Most High, I will. And, you know, you have like five eyes there in Isaiah chapter 14. And you see how selfishness really is something that is rooted in the devil himself. And here these men, they weren't concerned about these other men that were a part of their group. You know, they just displayed this this great, you know, selfishness. You know, young people, you know, this is something that can be easily displayed, this selfishness. You know, it doesn't care if your little brother or sister is in need of something and maybe they're crying because they need something, and it's just like, you know, you'll let them cry until maybe mom has enough compassion to help them out with whatever they need. But here's these men of Belial. We don't care about them. We're just going to have it, have what we got, and we're going to take it and do our own thing. Then let's go over to 2 Kings, or 1 Kings, excuse me, chapter 21. Here we find men of Belial are men who are willing to lie about a righteous person, who they don't care about the effects that their words and actions will have on others. 1 Kings chapter 21. And verse number 10, here's the story of Naboth who wanted the vineyard, Ahab who wanted Naboth's vineyard. And Naboth said, no, this is the inheritance of the Lord. This is the inheritance that I've been given, and, you know, I'm not supposed to give this to you. And anyways, if you come to verse 10, and this is Jezebel's plan to get the vineyard from Naboth, so Ahab could selfishly have it. And she says, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, against Naboth, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And then notice verse 13, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Well, it's a lie. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. So here's these men of Belial. They do not care about the effects of their words. Here's a righteous man that died because of what they said. But because of their worthless, wicked, ungodly character, they were willing to say something that brought great destruction. You know, think of Naboth's family. You know, think of if he had children. You know, think of the effect. Well, these people didn't care. You know, do you understand the impact and power that your words can have? Or are you unconcerned with the great impact that they can have upon others? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 15, in this passage, it's not translated as Belial, but I think it gives us kind of an understanding behind the word here. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 9. So here's somebody coming to, needs you to lend something to them. All right? And then in Israel, you know, every 7 years was the year of release. And so then you had to give back that which, you know, somebody lent to you. Maybe they were in need. And so they lent something to you, you gave them, you know, money or whatever in exchange. And it says here in verse number 9, or verse 8, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, and that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. And thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught or nothing. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. You know, and maybe because it looks like, oh, the year of release is coming and we're, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to have much time here. And so you're like, oh, you know, I'm going to maybe lose out here. And instead of thinking about the need that somebody else has, again, you're thinking about what? You're thinking about yourself and your own selfish desires. In some, 2 Samuel 22 and verse 5, it talks about the floods of ungodly men. All right, and there is the ungodly, there is Belial. In Nahum 1 and verse 11, it talks about a wicked counselor, or a counselor of Belial. Okay, one who imagines evil against the Lord. Now, I think in our own lives, we need to step back and say, boy, are any of these characteristics in my life? Am I allowing selfishness to influence the decisions that I make towards others? You know, young people, you know, maybe even adults, you know, there's people that have invested in your life. You know, how do you treat those young people? How do you treat your parents that have invested in your life? Do you treat them with honor? Do you treat them with respect? Or are you like these men of Belial? They don't care. You know, you're like Nabal, who doesn't matter what David's done to me. Who is he? I don't know who he is. And if it wasn't, and his wife had to intervene in the situation. Or are you able to recognize tonight, you know, that person that is, stands up and has a strong negative influence over a large group of people? And instead of like those men that sought to, you know, David as he's getting reset up, reestablished as the king, there was that man that stood up. And the children of Israel did not what recognize him as the man of Belial like they should have. And many of them turned after him. And it's important that we have that discernment so that we do not follow after such men that would lead us in a spiritually destructive direction. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we just pray that, Lord, in some way, this truth from your word, Lord, would impact our lives. Lord, that you would help us to be people that are unselfish, that display the love of Christ. And yet, Lord, have the discernment to see through, Lord, the negative influence that others can easily have upon our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that you would take these truths and help us, Lord, to apply them in such a way that you would be honored and glorified through it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.